So I know we've been going through Ephesians. We're all the way in Ephesians 5. We've done the first four chapters. They're on our website or someplace. Where will we put them? Website, right? Okay, so they're out there if you want to catch up. What we're doing today is Ephesians 5, 11 to 21. Now, this is part of a section that started can you hand me my water, please? It started in Ephesians 4:17, where Paul started addressing the Christians, the Ephesians that had become Christians, about the things that they needed to no longer participate in now that they became followers of Jesus. And he goes into great detail, going from 4:17 to 5:21, which we will get through to 5:21 today. So the first verse we're picking up is Ephesians 5:11, and as usual, I'm using the Christian Standard Bible. Though I looked at a whole bunch of different ones, and starting 5:11, it says, "Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them." So what's he talking about? Don't participate in the fruitless works. What's he talking about? These works of darkness. He's talking about the things that we've been started looking at several weeks ago. That we started looking at in 4:17. These things that talk about immorality, sexual immorality, impurity, greed, filthiness, gossip, and all sorts of other sins that can come from our mouths, from our tongues. Now, what's our three favorite words right now? Let's see who can remember. Encourage, strengthen, and comfort. God wants us, as we interact with each other, to be all about strengthening each other, encouraging each other, and comforting each other. That's how unity comes to pass. And so with our tongue, that's what we do. We don't tear down. But all these things that we looked at, they're all rooted in the demonic world. They're all rooted in the unholy three, which we call Satan, the world, and the flesh. They're all rooted in things that are definitely not of God. We want to be a people that constantly seeks after the Lord and walks in His goodness and walks in the things of God that He wants us to walk in, the things that encourage and strengthen and comfort each other, that build up relationships, that builds the church, that builds the kingdom of God, that draws us into the very presence of the living God. All at the same time, to run from the fruitless works of darkness. That's what we're called to do. See, the truth of the matter is, you either walk in sin or you don't walk in sin. Not walking in sin brings fruit to the kingdom of God. Walking in sin brings no fruit to the kingdom of God, brings no fruit to the church, and brings no fruit to us. Instead, we are called to expose these things of darkness. We're called to expose sin. Now, I'm not talking about, you got to keep this in mind with some of the things in the past. I'm not talking about getting your Bible, or if it's on your iPhone or wherever it is, and going up to somebody that you see walking in sin and go, "Come on, dummy, quit sinning." No. That's not how we expose. We expose by coming alongside of people and just being their friend. Telling your story when you have opportunity. Just being an example. It doesn't pay to tell somebody the truth, but you come across as a know-it-all. or you come across with condemnation. But when you tell the truth in love, which means you just come alongside and you put your arm around them and you walk with them, you just encourage them, you strengthen them, you comfort them. I went to a conference once. It was up towards Kansas City. It was on evangelism. And the guy doing the teaching, there was a bunch of different people, but doing the teaching, asked the question, so how many of you come to know the Lord because you're on campus and somebody came up to you with the fourth spiritual loss? There's a few hands. There's probably about 1,200 people in the audience, okay. A few hands went up. How many of you came to the Lord because you were at the mall and somebody walked up to you and started sharing the love of Jesus with you? Some more hands went up. How many of you, and went through two or three or others, but then he got to this one. How many of you came to know the Lord into a relationship with Jesus because you had a friend that just walked with you through life and was just a friend? And like 70% of the people raised their hands. That's, you know my story. You know, I was a child of the 60s, okay? Now, for those who are new here, you now know how old I am. But there was a guy named Randy who, even when I was just an absolute, I'm looking for a clean word, jerk, a clean jerk, he still walked with me for a year. I was his boss in the Navy. We'd go into Hong Kong, we'd go into Singapore, we'd go into Japan, we'd go into wherever. And I'd go, Randy, what are you going to do? Okay, this is my BC days, okay, before Christ. And I'd go, what are you going to do in there, man? We're going to be here 5 days, so I'm giving everybody 4 days, but why don't you take 2 days of duty, because what are you going to do there? And he still loved me. And when my world fell apart, guess who was there to pick me up? It was Randy. That's relationships. That's what we need to form with people. Not with the purpose of getting another notch on our belt, our gospel belt, you know. Now, I'm not saying don't witness, but I'm saying I think there's a better way to witness. And I think that this helps us to see, helps us to show people the fruitlessness of darkness. It helps us to expose sin. Moving on to 5:12. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. I mean, when you think about it, this almost sounds like a contradiction of what 5:11 was talking about, which said, but instead expose them. And here he's saying, but even to mention them by them in secret. Verse 11 looks like Paul's encouraging folks. And verse 12 looks like Paul's encouraging them to do just the opposite. But think about it, especially with what I was just talking about. How do we expose sin in people's lives? You can walk up to them, you can hit them in the head with the Bible, and you can say, you know, the Lord God in His Word says, do not whatever. But what if you go up and walk with them, and you're an example? And God, and as you build that relationship, He gives you the opportunity to share the truth in love. Out of a relationship. Which one is going to be more effective? See, there's two paths that people can choose to walk. One is a life of evil. And I know there's none of that in this country. You know, Gentile, or heathen, or sinner, or shameful sins. The other is a life of goodness, righteousness and truth, in other words, where we are following after the Lord Jesus Christ. If you choose to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, you make that conscious decision, I mean follow, you will be used of God to expose sin in people's lives. I've had people come up to me and go, why do I feel such conviction around you? You know, you all know the story when I was working for the state and people would come in and share things, and I never said a word to them. It's the Holy Spirit within us. He's there, radiating light out of you. And guess what darkness can't handle? Light, because light exposes everything. Moving on to 5:13 and 14. Everything exposed by the light is made visible. For what makes everything visible is light. Therefore it is said, get up. And that get up means awake or wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. See, all things that come into contact with light is going to be exposed. You walk into a dark room with a flashlight, what happens? The light, the darkness in that beam flees. If you go in there with a big spotlight, all of the darkness flees. Darkness cannot handle light. All things that come in contact with the light will be exposed and you'll be used of God, especially evil. Yes, sin. And why? Because here's the truth. Children of light are different. Let me change that. Children of the light are radically different than people of the world. And I do mean radically different. See, this verse 13:14a could be rendered, when light shines on anything, then people can know what it really is. Things of light are things of darkness. And when we come into relationship with people, that's what we're doing. We're shining forth to where people will know. People will know. I mean, you know we're not into legalism around here. We're into grace, not cheap grace. Bottom line, there should be a radical difference between us, who are followers of Jesus, and those who do not, who choose to not follow Jesus. I'm not talking personality. I'm not talking about that you're a person who an introvert versus an extrovert. I'm talking about just letting the light within you shine. And then moving on to 5:14b, the second half where it says, get up or awake or wake up sleeper and rise up from the dead and Christ will shine on you. There's a similarity with Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord shines upon you. Or shines over you, depending on the version you're looking at. So what's he mean in this? Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. See, Paul is addressing our former condition in Adam. Remember, there's the old Adam and the new Adam. The old Adam's the one that has not been born again yet. The new Adam is the ones in Christ. That there's a condition which can be described in terms of sleep, in terms of death, and darkness. It's just being lost. And he's wanting people to awaken, to rise from the death that they are in, we are in, we're in, and follow the light of Christ. See, Paul is all about, once you become, you walk out of the darkness you were in, walk out of being the person you were in, you were, getting saved, born again, whatever term you want to use, he's all about, that world is past. You are now in a new world. Walk there in it. Don't walk in the things you used to do. Shake the dust off your feet, so to speak, and keep going. And I know all of us, I raise my hand, we'll do things that we shouldn't do, we'll sin, but that's where repentance comes in and all those kinds of things. But it doesn't break relationship. We just go, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. And you move on. Paul is wanting us to be aware, to awaken, and to rise up from that and walk forth in his life. To walk into salvation means we also must renounce the darkness and the works of Satan and grasp the light and works of Jesus. And again, that's what Paul's talking about with all those things we looked at, all the different sins we looked at, all the things that some of the Ephesians were still doing after they became Christians, that we are not to play with the things of the world, but we are to allow Christ's light to shine through us, in us and through us, so that those things are dealt with. And he does it first with his mercy and then by his grace. We serve an amazing God, because nowhere in this is condemnation. Nowhere in this is that we have to do all these try to do all these kinds of works to where we hope that it was enough to get us into whatever it is we're supposed to get into. But the blood of Jesus took care of it. And all we have to do when we accept that is to walk after him. So Ephesians 5:15, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. See, Paul's encouraging us here, those of us that have awakened, to walk out our salvation, to walk out who we are, not by our wisdom, but by the wisdom of God. Okay, I might get in trouble here, but who would love to see the wisdom of God more used in Washington, D.C. than the wisdom of man? Forgive me, Lord. No, don't forgive me. Paul wants us to walk in the wisdom of God. Colossians 4:5, reading from the ESV, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Why? Because the Ephesian believers were being scrutinized. Do you realize that your non-Christian friends are watching you? They're watching you. If they know you're a believer, they're watching you. They're scrutinizing you. See, the Ephesian believers were a minority. And the Ephesian Gentiles, or heathens, or whatever you want to call them, were watching them closely. I remember when I was a non-believer, I had the hypocrite word in my back pocket, ready to be pulled and used at a moment's notice with anybody who was a follower of Jesus, anytime I saw anything, because I was scrutinizing them. I was watching them. I was ready to show them why they were wrong and how they weren't doing what they said they were doing. But Paul wants us as followers of Jesus to guard the reputation of the gospel, because it's so powerful. By following Jesus and not doing the evil things we've been talking about. And again, we're going to stumble. But again, as we talked about, I think it was last week, we are not the nouns. We're the verbs. We're not the sinners, but we do sin if we are in Christ. And our lives hopefully will show who Jesus is, because the world's watching. It's looking for sin in our lives. It's looking for hypocrisy in our lives. It's looking for anything negative to where they can attack us. I mean, why are bakers or different people drug into court because they won't do this or that? Because people are scrutinizing. They're watching. They're wanting to trip them up and then take them into court and prove that they're wrong. Because darkness doesn't like light. That's why we must walk in the wisdom of God, why we have to walk in the love of Christ, why we need to follow the Holy Spirit, why we need to be living a life that is shining forth the light of the gospel, always protecting the gospel and walking in truth. And I believe, church, that as we do that, we will send forth a testimony of Jesus, of his salvation, that is more powerful than you slapping somebody upside the head and telling them they're going to hell. You know, it really gets funny. The church I grew up in, when I went off to college, they told me that it was a denominational church, told me that there would be people that would meet me on campus and try to convert me. And then they gave me a tract, some tracts, that I can, when they hand me a tract, I can hand them a tract. So we can have dueling tracts. It's crazy. It's about Jesus. It's not about a church. This isn't a church. We're the church. You know? And we are the ones who will let this light shine. Ephesians 5:16. Making the most of the time because the days are evil. Or as it puts in New Living Translation, which I like better, make the most of every opportunity in these days. And then Colossians 4:15 says this, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time, which is almost becoming redundant. But Paul is really wanting to drive this home. What he's saying here is take every advantage that you have, every opportunity, the advantage of every opportunity that you have to let the light shine, to share the gospel, to love people. Because what is gospel? It's Jesus loving us. It's what he did on the cross so that we can come into his presence. By living out who we are as we follow those people and walk with them and encourage them and strengthen them. Eugene Nida puts it this way, which I think is so perfect. The readers, which were the Ephesians, us, are being told to seize and use every opportunity to carry on their Christian witness. Paul was telling them this because the days they lived in were evil, full of Satan. I'll let you decide whether that applies to today or not. Just smile. I'll let you answer that. So let's be people that lets our light shine. Let's be people that love people. Let's be people that don't judge, that don't condemn, but just comes along and loves people and walks with them, strengthens them, encourages them, comforts them. In a manner that the gospel will just radiate out of us. I was talking to a guy last night at this party up there, Chuck, and he's made a lot of trips to Guatemala. And he just was talking about how the people down there are so appreciative. They go down and build houses for people, big houses. 450 square feet with tin roofs, concrete floors, and whatever the siding is. And these people go, thank you. Now we would go, well, okay, that's not even a starter home. But they see the love of Christ in the midst of all of that. Everything we do, most of what we do, should always be to let the love of Christ radiating out of us. Ephesians 5:17. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. See, the word so there is, it's the word therefore in a lot of other versions, which is referring to the previous version. So verse 15 says, is being repeated in a different manner. 15 says we are to be wise. 17 says we're not to be foolish. See, Paul wants us to be wise and not foolish so we can understand God's will. And how do we not be foolish? How do we instead be wise? It's really simple. Imitate Christ. Follow Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit lead us. And we find those things out by reading the Word of God. Don't depend on your wisdom. Every time I've totally depended upon my wisdom, and I can go back and look at some of the things in my life. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm laughing, but there was where I just did things based upon my wisdom. It was bad. It was just really bad. But when I do things out of God's wisdom, and a lot of times, I'll say most times, it ended up hurting people. After I became a Christian, I had to do a lot of repenting for people I'd hurt. Because that's pretty radical. Took advantage of people, used people. But when we follow Jesus and imitate Him and follow the Holy Spirit, which we do as believers, we just want to love people. I mean, what did He do? What was the cross all about? Love. It's God calling us. Ask him if the message is all right so far, will you? But He's love. That's what He did on the cross. It's just love. It's just liquid love. Every drop of blood that flowed out of Him was love directed to us. Every broken part of His body was love directed to us. I like how Peter puts it in 1 Peter 2:21. 221. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. Remember, we talked about the WWJD last week. Everybody remember that? So you're so young that you go, oh, what are you talking about? What would Jesus do? People had bracelets and necklaces and t-shirts and, you know, what would Jesus do in this situation? And it turned out to be a fad and went away. But I'm sitting there going, what would Jesus do in every situation in our life? He's our example. He's the one we need to follow. He's the one we need to emulate. He's the one whose will that we should desire to grab hold of and to imitate, to make sure that we understand how He would handle each situation, which requires us to get into His Word, to pray, to seek the Holy Spirit, ask Him how He's going to lead us and guide us, to go, what would Jesus do? Maybe we need to bring that back. And as you do that, you will understand the will of the Lord. Because that is wisdom, following Jesus, and it's not foolish. Foolishness is following the world, yourself, Satan. Ephesians 5:18, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit. Wait a second, where'd this one come from? That doesn't fit. I mean, at first you go, what are you saying here? Where did this come from? But when you look at it a little closer, what Paul is saying is he's saying, don't get drunk. Don't get intoxicated, which leads to reckless living, which is foolishness and not wisdom, and leads to a bad witness. See, intoxication is not the effective remedy for the cares and worries of this life. I mean, look at 1 Peter 1:8, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation again. You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him, and you rejoice with a glorious and inexpressible joy. We want to follow the Holy Spirit. We want to be filled by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the answer. He always has been and forever will be. Romans 14:17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy in who? The Holy Spirit. Paul is saying over and over throughout all these verses, because he wants us to understand it. He wants to get it within us, that it's about focusing on Jesus. That it's not about our life, but it's about His life and following Him. And going on with Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, or Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We're to encourage each other with Old Testament psalms, with New Testament songs of praise, with worship, with sacred lyrics, with scripture, as we worship together as a body, and also individually. See, worship is an amazing thing because it brings together two themes that we've been talking about, the theme of unity and the theme of encouraging, strengthening, and comforting each other in that unity. Ephesians 5:19, the second part, says, with your heart to the Lord. And a better rendering of that is probably with all of your heart, with your whole heart, with everything within you. We should do all that we do out of our new heart, the Ezekiel 36 heart that we got when we walked into salvation, no matter what we do. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, which echoes Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See, as we gather together, we're gathering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we worship, we're endeavoring to follow Holy Spirit. But always, in everything we do, we're giving thanks to God the Father through him. Giving thanks to our Father in heaven, which is something we will want to do, to thank our God for the bountiful blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Moving to 5:21, if worship team wants to come back up. Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. What I'm about to say is a hard word, but it's true. It's biblical. Every one of us, Every follower of Jesus should be willing to be the least amongst the group. To serve, even as Jesus did. Humbly washing feet, giving their life, whatever. Philippians 2:3. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. I didn't write it, it just happens to be in the Bible. While honoring each other, as it says in Romans 12:10. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. And how do we honor each other? We encourage each other. We strengthen each other. We comfort each other. We come along with each other. We become Aaron's and hers to each person, helping to hold up their arms, helping them to walk forth in all that God has called them to do. All the while, revering God, honoring God, giving him the respect that he deserves, and the awe that he deserves in our lives, in our worship, in our praise, in everything we do. See, as we do these things, I guarantee you will have some of the best relationships you've ever had. It's an amazing thing when I go back to Columbia. We left there in 1997 to come start this church. And when we walked into the new building, the central foyer, and I'm sure Vicki and Cheryl felt this because they were there last night too, that you walk up to these people that you may not have seen for a while. I mean, there was a number of people I talked to last night, Steve, new owner, who I haven't seen, who lived in Texas and now lives in Eureka, Missouri, Chuck, and just others. And it's like you pick up where you left off. And you just start talking. You know, I was talking to one person. I said, you know, I really haven't talked to you for about 20 years. And they went, yeah, that's right. And we just continued on. Because those relationships, when you build them in the kingdom, they're eternal. They're eternal. They don't go away. I think about some of the relationships I had before I became a believer, and there's a few names I remember, but it's like, if I saw them today, I'd go, what do I say? You know? Now there's some of them who are serving the Lord now that we would pick up on right things. On things right away, talking about the Lord and so forth. But relationships with God and each other are so significant in the kingdom of God. So significant in the kingdom of God. I'll just say this. When we have guests, I just want them to feel like they were accepted. And if they don't think this is the place for them, fine. But I just want them to understand that they're loved, that that we want to encourage them, that we want to walk with them. And if God leads them to a different place, God bless them. We're all in for that. But we just need to be a people. I mean, I think about Cheryl and Vicky, who I've known for... And it was funny because they showed up here on a Sunday that I wasn't here. I was lying in the hospital or something. I don't know, I can't. Would have make a heart attack, something or another. But it's about relationship. It's about taking care of each other. It's about encouraging each other. That's what it's about, because it's all about family. And as we live that out, I'm convinced that people will look and they'll see it and they'll say, yes, that's what I want. And I can know that's true because people have told me. But as we do that, the church will grow in power. It'll grow in strength. It'll grow in worship. It'll grow in our love for Jesus. It'll grow in relationships. It'll grow in unity. It'll grow in our love for each other. That's what God wants. That's the church God wants. Not a legalistic church. Not a church that's judgmental. Not a church that picks on people, condemns people. But a church that loves, that strengthens, encourages, and takes care of people. Amen. Father, I pray that you would help us to be all that you've called us to be. That you would touch us and you would strengthen us. That you'd be with us. For you are God and there is no other. And Lord, just as we close, we just pray that you'd be with us. And if there's anybody who needs prayer for anything, you're welcome to come up front. People will pray with you. Whether it be for whatever. But Lord, we just, as a congregation, let's stand, please. As a congregation, we just say thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen.